Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Beginning in verse 12 of Luke chapter 5, while he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities.
Father God, when your love comes into contact with the sin of man, your love is victorious only because of the cross of Christ. And Lord God, when your Son, filled with compassion, comes into contact with a leper, the leper is healed. Not because the leper holds in his hands anything, not because there is any redeeming quality in him, not because he brings anything to the table, but merely because you will, and he is clean. And Lord God, we see ourselves in this leper. Certainly, Lord God, there was a time in most of our lives where we were full of leprosy, and you came to our town, and we heard the story of your power and of your ability, and we knew it to be true. And we cried out to you, Lord God, and you willed that we would be clean, and we were clean. And Lord God, we as Christians still know that the bacteria of leprosy lies within us. We still have sin around us and in us. We know that you have freed us from the power and the punishment of sin, but we know that it is still present with us. And we look forward to the day where you will eradicate it completely when you return. But Lord God, we pray that you would show us a little of your Son this morning through this story of the leper. Help us to stay focused completely and utterly on you, on your word, and not to be distracted by anything around us or by anything in the room or by anything in our lives during the week. Help us to be focused on you completely. Give us that discipline. Give us that desire, Lord God, through your Holy Spirit. Produce in us fruit through your word this morning as we see your Son, Jesus Christ, come into contact with a leper. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. If you would, open up to Luke chapter 5 if you are not already there. Luke chapter 5 if you're not already there. I want to ask one overarching question this morning, and that is, why did Jesus come to this earth? Why did Jesus descend out of his holy and heavenly home to this leper colony we call earth? Amen. Why did he come down here and mingle with us? And we can answer that many different ways. There's probably over 50 reasons why Jesus Christ came to this earth. But I want to tackle one particular reason, one main reason, humanly speaking, why he came to this earth. We know that ultimately it was for the glory of his Father. Amen. We know that ultimately it was for his own glory. But humanly speaking, why did he have to come down here among us? Why did he come? And I believe Luke chapter 5 answers that question. And so we're going to look at that today and shed some light on that. Did he come to lay out a godly example for us to follow? In some sense, yes. Did he come to free people from political oppression? Not so much. But when he comes a second time, political oppression will be a thing of the past. And so will poverty, and so will disease, and so will demon oppression. So yes and no. Did he come to this earth to lay down steps that if we were to follow, we can live successfully? Is that what he did? Well, let's look at Luke chapter 5 and see what Jesus is up to. And let's start at verse 12 with the leper. And I know that most of us here realize that Jesus healing a leper is much deeper than the skin disease of leprosy. Amen. And so I want you to have that in your mind as we talk about Jesus and the leper. Look at verse 12. While he, that is Jesus, was in one of the cities. While he, Jesus, was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. I don't know whose water I just drank, but it's good. Leprosy in the Bible, leprosy in the Old Testament and in the New Testament was a very general term. They did not have microscopes. They did not examine bacteria and give them Latin names. So any type of skin disease would oftentimes go by the name of leprosy. And that could be anything from ringworms to psoriasis to what is known today as leprosy, which is Hansen's disease. And so this man has leprosy, but Luke says he is full of leprosy. I want you to understand the condition of this man. He is full of leprosy, and that leads people to believe that he had what we call Hansen's disease, or the leprosy. Now, Hansen's disease is a terrible, terrible disease. Dr. Brand, who's an expert in the field here in Louisiana at the leper hospital here in Louisiana, says that leprosy is an indirect killer. It attacks the nervous system and takes away the feeling of the victim. So the victim can no longer feel. And so what happens is he mutilates himself unknowingly. He doesn't know that he's working with a shovel all day, that there was a nail protruding from the handle, and it rips his hand up so much that it has to be amputated. And there's an infection. He doesn't know in many poor countries they sleep under the stars, and he would not feel a rat chewing his ear off in the middle of night. He would not feel, as one man was reported to have done, wash his face with water every morning, not knowing that it was scalding hot until he made himself go blind. So leprosy, Dr. Brand says, is an indirect killer. It creates numbness, and it is a disease which is horribly, horribly debilitating. It's very much like sin, though. You see, it's highly contagious. It's caught through the air. If they were to breathe on you, the bacteria can be trapped in clothing. It is passed down to the children of lepers. It is very, very contagious. It's deadly. It's painful. It's ugly. It starts usually on the forehead of the person with a white scab. And it breaks out on their face and eventually attacks their entire body, moving on to their organs. And it makes them look like hideous monsters. And here we have this man coming to Jesus. But it's not only a physical debilitation. It's social. It's social. And that's what's bigger. See, if you had leprosy, you were separated from the community. It's not that they wanted to be cruel to you, but if you were to mingle among the crowd, everyone would catch leprosy. This disease is so bad that it could destroy an entire nation. And so we have in the Mosaic Law rules on how to deal with lepers. It created social outcasts. They were not only separated from their friends and their families, but listen, theologically, they were separated from the children of Israel. They were separated from God's people. They were outside of the walls of protection of the cities, out there with the world. They were socially separated. If they were to walk near a person, they had to shout, "Unclean, unclean!" If they were to get close, a person could legally stone them. They had to tatter their clothing so that if they were to deposit it somewhere, no one would come and say, "Oh, a new nice coat," and wear it and catch leprosy themselves. So their clothes had to be ripped and torn. They were not only socially disturbed and physically tormented, they were religiously attacked. Leprosy was a disease that attacked religiously. They could not go to the temple and worship. They could not go to the house of God and pray to Him. They could not celebrate the Passover with the people of God. They could not go to the synagogue and gather corporately and have access to the Father through those means. Do you see, leprosy is much bigger than a biological problem. It was a social and spiritual problem, and it makes the perfect analogy for sin. And all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, you see leprosy as a curse from God, even. It is God who cursed Uzziah with leprosy. Leprosy is a horribly debilitating thing. And, you know, I tried to think of a modern comparison, and the closest thing I could come to was AIDS. There is a social and a religious stigma involved, and it is a deadly and painful disease. But I don't think even AIDS comes close to what Hansen's disease would do for someone without antibiotics in the Middle East. And this wretch, and he is a wretch, approaches Jesus. Okay? Now, if you want to know what Jesus is like, this is an excellent scenario. You see, because many people can profess, I love the poor, I came to give sight to the blind and to set at liberty the captives. But when a leper is in your personal space, then you really get to see what the Messiah is all about. It is no more merely words. You get to see who Jesus is when the leprosy comes into contact with him. And that's why Luke tells us this story, because he wants you to know what the Savior is like. And he wants you to know how he deals with lepers, with religious and social outcasts. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. While he, that is Jesus, was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. So we have this man full of leprosy. And he has heard the good news. And the good news is that Jesus Christ is in his town. And this man, Jesus, whom he has heard, has the ability to heal lepers. He has the ability to give sight to the blind. And that is good news for a leper. Amen. And he hears that news and he believes it to be true. And so he approaches Christ. But notice this. I found here in the South, we have a few different versions of this story. Now, because we have the religious folk and their version of the story, and we have the rebels and their version of the story, and then we have those people in between who just don't care. And they have a version of the story as well. And I actually found the versions here. It's called the Authorized Religious Version. This is in Luke chapter 5, verse 12. Listen to this. And when, okay, Jesus is in the town, and there came a man full of leprosy, and when the leper saw Jesus, listen to what he did. He debated with Christ, saying, should you not heal me, for look what I have done for the poor? Should you not heal me, Christ? Look at me. I am not like those heathens. I confess my sins. I tithe. I don't curse. I appeal to you, Christ. You should heal me because I have a lot to offer for your kingdom. And we have people that approach Christ that way. How absurd. He's a leper approaching the Lord, the creator of the universe. I appeal to you, Christ. You should heal me because I am a good person in general when I compare myself to my neighbors. That is from the Authorized Religious Hypocrite version. I'll give you another one because that doesn't cover every person. We have also the Authorized Apathetic version, or we could call it the Authorized Positive Thinking version. And here, when the leper saw Jesus, he considered Jesus to be a nice guy, a great teacher, a prophet, perhaps. But since he had learned to think positively about everything in life, about all of life's situations, he didn't feel the need to embarrass himself by approaching Jesus, because after all, he was going to be A-okay if he just stayed positive in life. That person, the religious and the apathetic, the positive thinking person, they do not get healed by Christ. And they remain in their leprosy. Do you see that? But there's another type. And we find them in the Authorized Rebel version. You see, and when they see Jesus, this leper, the rebel, he considered his leper girlfriend he was sleeping with, and he considered his leper friends he loved so dearly, and decided that their company was worth more than Christ. So he said nothing and lurked back to his fornication and despair, because Christ is not beautiful to him. And he has nothing to offer because he loves his fornication more. That is the rebel. And he is not healed. He goes back home with leprosy still. Christ is not moved with compassion for the religious, for those who want to bargain and trade with him. He is not moved with compassion for the positive thinking, apathetic fools. And he is not moved with compassion for the rebel. He is moved with compassion when the beggar gets on his knees and begs, please save me. I got nothing to offer you. My hands are empty. I am a leper. I am a hideous and disgusting monster. And you are my only hope. That is what moves Christ to tears. And that is what moves Christ with power and compassion. And if you are a Christian, that happened at some point in your life. And if you are not a Christian, you need to repent of your religiosity and your apathy and your positive thinking in spite of all reality, which says you have sins that need to be paid for. And Jesus Christ paid for them on the cross. And if you are a rebel and you think that your boyfriend or your girlfriend is worth more than Christ, you will perish. I say it, and it is true. Christ is not moved with compassion for you. He is moved with compassion for the beggar who is on his face. You better get that, Christian and non-Christian alike. You better get it. You want to know what makes Christ move with compassion? It is a beggar, a leper, asking him with nothing to offer. And that's what we call grace alone. That's what we call poor in spirit. That's why we say, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who go to Christ with nothing to offer. You cannot bargain with him and trade with him because you have nothing that he needs nor wants. Luke 5, verse 12. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He begged. He fell on his face. I assure you, the leper had leper friends. But in light of Christ, they were worth nothing to him. I assure you, the leper perhaps considered himself to be a good person. But when standing in the presence of Christ, his righteousness was as filthy rags. I don't think the leper had any positive thoughts. He was not a rich American. But notice also that he made no demands on Christ. You notice he did not feel as though Christ owed him anything, did he? Christ was under no obligation here. And the leper did not go to him feeling owed something. That is huge. You see, true humility and true desperation does not try to take the rights away from God. It is God's prerogative to heal or not to heal. And the leper is fully aware of that. And he does not notice this. He does not question Jesus' ability. This is not a question of ability. Woe to you who say, oh, my sins are too great. I don't know if Christ could heal me. You don't believe in Christ. Woe to you who say, oh, woe, I am not worthy to be saved. Absolutely right. You are not worthy. That's not the point. You say, but I can't forgive myself. Who cares? You are not God. It is God's prerogative to forgive or not to forgive. And God is able. That is not the question. The question is, how will God respond to a leper who kneels down in front of him and begs him? That is the question. How will Christ respond? And that is what the leper does not know. See, the leper approaches Christ knowing fully well that he is able. The question is, if you are willing. And he doesn't know how Christ will respond to him. He is, after all, a worthless wretch. And he deserves to be stoned. Every other rabbi threw stones at him. One rabbi said that he would not even eat an egg on a street where a leper had passed by. The rabbis did not treat lepers well. And this leper did not know how this rabbi would treat him, although he knew he could treat him. True humility and desperation will not attempt to steal God's rights from him. He must will in order to heal. But let me tell you this. This is the good news. Because Christ does not turn away anyone who comes to him like that leper. Because he is moved with compassion for the man who has nothing to offer and who puts his face in the dirt and begs, please. Whosoever means whosoever will come to him, Christ will heal. But the rebel does not come, and the religious do not come. And the positive thinking, apathetic fools, they do not come either. And so they are not healed. But the lepers who know their leprosy and they hear the good news that Christ is in their town, they go and they beg and they plead because they see how desperate their situation really is. How does Jesus respond? Mark says, there's many parallel passages here, but Mark says that Christ was moved with compassion. And those words don't do justice. Christ was moved with compassion. Every macho man, there is at some point where he will break. When he stands in the tomb of his mother or his child, I don't care how strong he is, he breaks. You understand? And the tears well up in his eyes and the lump builds in his throat and he blubbers like a baby. And you want me to tell me? I'll tell you what moves Christ. And it's a leper on his face pleading. That is what moves Christ. Jesus is a man. You need to understand that. Have you ever felt compassion and pity for the poor wretch addicted to drugs on the street corner? Of course. You feel pity. You feel so bad for them because in a sense you can relate to them. But by the grace of God, you have not traded places with them. You feel that. And Jesus can identify with this man. We can imagine what it would be like to be in that situation. And Jesus is moved with compassion because he is a man. He is God as well, but he is a real human being who is moved by our pleas and our cries. When Matthew tells the same story, he tells it in context of the verse, "Knock and it will be opened unto you. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find." But the problem is rebels and religious hypocrites and positive thinking fools don't seek. Only lepers seek. Only lepers hear good news and say, you know, I like that. Verse 13. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. That is amazing. To touch leprosy meant to be unclean. But when Christ touches lepers, they become clean. Jesus reaches out his hand and he touches him. He's moved with compassion. And he says four beautiful words. I will. You want to know, leper, how I deal with lepers like you? You believe I'm able. You want to know how I deal, what I will choose to do? For all those who beg to me like this, I will be clean. And immediately, okay, look, no stage, no lights, no gimmicks, no phone number at the bottom of the screen to raise money. This is a real miracle. And if that leper was missing a nose, immediately that nose grew back. If his arm had to have been amputated, his arm came out. We are talking a major instantaneous healing. And that leper rolled back his sleeves. And for the first time in years, he felt the wind whistle through his hair. He felt feeling in his fingertips. Oh, and that is just a shadow of what it means to be born again. It is just a shadow. It is nothing compared to the new birth. It is why I believe you cannot be lost if you have been found, because you have been healed. You have been born again. It is why I believe that when you become a Christian, things really do change. Because it is a real, instantaneous miracle. And this hideous monster takes off his hood and he shines. He is a man. He is whole. And his skin is smooth. And Jesus does it in the face of all the Pharisees who will not come. And he does it in the face of Judas, who is the hypocrite. And he does it in the face of the rebels who love their fornications more than they love Christ. And he does it in front of all the positive thinking rich Americans who say, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but I'm doing okay with my leprosy. Now, remember we were asking. I'm sorry, I got to say this. That's unconditional love. You have got to see that. You know, we think of unconditional love like this. We think, no matter what you do, I will keep on loving you. That's how we think of unconditional love. But there was a greater side to unconditional love, and that is that God, before the foundation of the world, before we had done whether either good or bad, loved us unconditionally. Before the foundation of the world, he loved that leper. And that leper had nothing to do with it. The only qualification was that Jesus willed to do it. It is by God's good pleasure that that leper was healed. And it is by God's good pleasure that you were born again. That's grace alone. Alone. And one thing that leper did not do was walk an aisle in a church and pray some silly little prayer. And Jesus said, oh, thank you for coming to me with that prayer. I guess I'll heal you now. That is not what occurred. I say that just in case there's someone here that hadn't heard me say that 1,000 times. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? That's our overarching question. There's a hint here. Look at verse 14. Chapter 5, verse 14. There is a hint at why Jesus came. And he charged that leper not to tell anyone. That is strange. It is very strange if your main point is to heal lepers. Because if your main point of coming is to heal lepers, you tell the leper, show me where the leper colony is. Let's go. Because that's why I came to earth, to heal lepers. Send the blind and the lame, because I came to earth to heal the blind and the lame. That was not the main point of his coming. And so he tells the leper, don't say anything or else I'm not going to be able to do the main point that I came to do. And that's exactly what the leper does. He goes out and tells people. And so Jesus has thousands of people. He has to go off into desolate places and they go out there in the wilderness to follow him. That's why he has to produce all these miracles of food, because people don't have any food to eat. And so this leper makes it very difficult for Jesus to do, because he didn't come to overthrow the Romans. He didn't come to take over the government. He came to be crucified. Amen. That's why he tells the leper, shh. OK, my main point is not healing lepers. My main point is, let's look at it. Look at the chapter. And if you have a good Bible, it will probably have little title heads. What's the first title head in that chapter? Okay, and the one we're at is Jesus heals a leper, right? If you go to the next one, it says Jesus heals a paralytic. So we're dealing with lepers here and we're dealing with paralytics. Look at verse 20 of chapter 5. Jesus ups the ante, because he's not just about healing lepers and paralytics. He says, man, your sins are forgiven you. Okay, are you getting a hint a little bit? It's not just about leprosy and paralysis. It is about forgiveness of sins. And that is when Jesus first initiates the confrontation with the religious elite. But look down at verse 27, because not only does Jesus deal with the lepers and the paralytics, he is dealing with tax collectors. These are despicable traitors to the Jewish nation. If you want to know what a tax collector was like, you think of a Jew who worked for the Nazis in the prison camp. And you have the idea of what a tax collector was. A traitor, an unclean traitor who dealt with Gentiles. And Jesus is with the lepers, the paralytics, and the tax collectors. Are you getting my drift? He came to save a certain type of person, not the religious elite. Look at verse 27. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi. That's Matthew, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And leaving 10%, right? No. And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. Now, if you would go down a little bit further to verse 29. And we have a mission statement here. Why is Luke telling us about the leper and the paralytic and the tax collector? Verse 29, and Levi made him a great feast at his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with them. See, Jesus is among the lepers here. I told you he descended down into this leper colony called Earth, and he's mingling with some despicable folk like you and me. Amen. And he's reclining at table with us. And verse 30, and the Pharisees and the scribes and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician. Not one healthy person was ever healed by Christ. You must understand that. And not anyone who thinks of themselves as righteous will ever be saved. It is the poor in spirit who are saved. Christ came to save sinners. If you are righteous, you will not be healed and you will not be saved. Repent of your righteous hypocrisy. God said your righteousness is as filthy rags. Verse 31, and Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We get an idea of what Christ's, one of his main reasons, humanly speaking, for coming was. And that's for sinners. For sinners. Luke is telling us why Jesus came. So I ask you, are you a sinner? Are you a spiritual leper? As leprosy disfigured the faces of its victims, do you feel that sin has hurt you and damaged you and disfigured you and corrupted you? If you're not a Christian, the answer is yes. But I'm asking, do you know about it? Has it been made aware to you? Do you realize the condition you're in? As leprosy passed down to children, are you concerned that your sins and your evil habits your kids will pick up on? Are you concerned with that? As leprosy was painful, do your sins hurt? The consequences of some of your sins have hurt drastically, haven't they? But just like leprosy, sin can be healed with a divine miracle and a divine miracle alone. So I'm telling you, if you are a spiritual leper, there is great hope for you. But only if you go to Christ. Remember the song we sang? Love of God on one hand and the sin of man on the other. What's victorious? The love of God. It remains victorious because of the cross of Christ. Let me show you something here. If you see yourself as a spiritual leper, and I realize you Christians, if you have been born again, you're in a different state of affairs. And I'm going to talk to you in a second about that. I'm speaking specifically to non-Christians here. Look at verse 14. If you have been the rebel or the apathetic, positive thinking buffoon, or if you have been the religious hypocrite, there is some hope for you. If you see yourself as a spiritual leper, there is hope for you. Look at verse 14. Jesus tells the leper, go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded. Now, that is wonderful because that offering is so interesting. That offering was two birds. Now, pay attention. Those two birds which had to be offered by the leper, one bird was sacrificed. Guess what happened with the other bird? It was set free. One was sacrificed and the other was freed. Just think of Jesus and the leper. One is sacrificed, one is freed. But before the bird is freed, he's dipped in the blood of the sacrificed bird. God is great. Amen. He is dipped in the blood of the sacrificed bird. And I'm telling you, if you see yourself as a spiritual leper, there is great hope for you because Jesus became a leper for you. He was sacrificed. His blood was spilled and you could be dipped in his blood, but only those who come to Christ shall be saved. Jesus came into this leper colony called Earth and he became a leper. I don't mean the skin disease. I mean, God the Father took your sin and my sin and he imputed it to Christ. He credited our sin to Christ and put it on Christ's account and then nailed it to the cross. Because that's how God deals with sinners. And his own son, when sin was a tribute to him, he killed him. He sacrificed him. Why do you think Jesus said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Because Jesus at that moment had become a leper and was banished from God. Our sins were put on him. He was the bird that shed his blood so that we could go free. There's hope for you if you see yourself as a spiritual leper. There's great hope for you. Just as Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, Jesus traded places with that leper. How can I have the blood of Jesus applied to me? This is how. You call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't mean the sinner's prayer. I don't mean some religious affectation that you conjure up. I don't mean a mantra. I mean you cry out like a leper with his face on the ground and beg him, I know you're able, but please. I'm a leper. I'm desperate. I got nowhere else to turn. You're my only hope. And I know you can do it because you died on the cross to pay for these sickening sins that I have in my life. You are the bird who shed his blood. I want to be free, Christ. That is the call that Jesus Christ is moved by. You want the blood of Christ to apply to you? You go to the Lord. You go to the Savior. Now, Christian, as we close, the bacteria of leprosy is still with us, isn't it? It's around every corner. It's in our clothing. It's in our houses. Certainly, we have been freed from the power of sin. Amen. And we have been freed from the punishment of sin. You will never hear the verdict, "Thou art guilty." Christ has declared you. God has declared you righteous, declared you justified. But we still live in flesh. We have not yet been saved to the uttermost. We have not yet been glorified. And so you've got to fight it. You've got to fight the bacteria of leprosy. You've got to fight sin. And when your Christian brother tells you that it's breaking out on your forehead, you better listen to him. And you better thank him for the help. Because you may not notice it right away. Christ has given you that brother to identify that in your life. And you know what else? You need to understand this. You can't cure leprosy on your own. Not even as a Christian. When it crops up on your brow and it threatens your life, you know this. It can only be treated by the antibiotic of the Holy Spirit. And that is applied through the syringe of Christ's intercession. So if you sin, know this, you have an advocate with the Father. And he is faithful and just to forgive you of all sins. So confess them to Christ. Amen. Repent and turn for them, Christian. You must continue the struggle against it. Against sin. What leprosy is merely a shadow of. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this encounter with a leper. He is nameless. But I look forward to meeting him one day. Only because he is a window into your nature. Because when I see that leper, I see myself and I see your compassion. Lord God, you are willing to save those who call upon you. Because you are a compassionate and loving and merciful God. And I just pray for every person in this room. I pray for the non-believers in this room. I pray and I ask that you would give them eyes to see for the first time. That through your regenerating power, they might call out to you. And I pray for the believers in this room, myself included, Lord God, that we would be vigilant in our fight against sin. That when it crops up on us or on others, that we would fight it. But that we would mortify the flesh by the Spirit. And not in our own personal strength, but only in your strength. Thank you, Lord God, for this word. And I pray that it would produce fruit in our congregation for many years to come. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.